Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you, and it's really lovely to be here. It's always a joy. I'm going to be speaking today about Ephesians 4, and just as a reminder, because you might want to have the passage open as I speak, you'll find it on page 1110 in the Pew Bibles. And as you find it or not, will you pray with me? Father, I pray that this morning these words that I speak will be your words, that you will encourage us and challenge us afresh to be all that we can be in your name and to your service. Amen. So it's really good to be here as part of your celebrations of 125 years history here at St. Barnabas, and particularly it's a pleasure and a privilege to help unpack the treasures of Ephesians 4. There are many passages that are similar, but I honestly believe that once we grasp the significance of this passage, our life is never the same, both as a church and as individuals. I know it's a huge claim, but the truth is that these verses are so startling that they could change the way you think about everything. So I wonder if you're willing to go on that journey with me this morning as we unpack the truth again. I want to start by setting this passage in a context. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he is not writing to individuals. He is writing to the church as a body. As a first century Jew, it wouldn't have occurred to Paul to think about the individual person except as being one person in community with others. I know that's hard to grasp today because we make so much of the idea of that each one of us is separate and unique. We are the because I'm worth it generation. And we are each of us unique and special, as we'll see in a minute, but not as individuals on our own. Each one of us matters as part of something much bigger and more amazing than any one of us. We are the body of Christ. We are one body, one church, branches on one vine. Even if we disagree or fall out or break into different church structures, we are still one body because we serve one Lord and are baptized into one Spirit. In fact, the whole notion that there are multiple churches here in Middlesbrough or elsewhere is absurd. Whether we agree or not, whether we worship in different ways or in different buildings, we are one church. We can't be anything else because we are one body, serving one Lord, baptized in one Spirit. I am special. We here at St. Barnabas this morning are special because we are an integral part of the great big us. This is not always an easy idea to keep a hold of, and actually it's a very uncomfortable thing to live out in practice. But as we go through these six verses of Ephesians, try and keep that notion tucked away in the back of your mind. I am special because we are the body of Christ. So let's start with verse 11. In fact, let's start with the first four words. So Christ himself gave. The God who made the heavens and the earth, the breath that first gave life to all human beings, the God who emptied himself of all but love and lived and died and conquered death and rose again and is exalted on the right hand of the Father, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings and reigns eternally over all the universe. This God, this Christ, is the one who gave. The gifts we have, whatever they might be, come from Christ. He who is exalted over all things gave us, little old you and me, the gift to be who we are, or who we could be, or who we shall be. That this awesome, amazing God that we serve should single me, us, out for a crumb of a gift is extraordinary. How can I ever do enough, be enough, to begin to pay back his goodness to me? The truth is that everything that I am or could be is a gift. To be used or squandered, to be hoarded for the future or to be given away again as soon as I receive it, to be held or to be shared. I've never really understood why people say, oh, I'm not good enough to do that, or I can't do that until I've learned a bit more or grown a bit more. If God is genuinely calling you to a particular purpose, he has already given you all the gifts you need to do that thing. Now, it's true that sometimes you might think, oh, I'd quite like to do that. Or someone will ask you to do something that you are not called to and God hasn't gifted you for. And then you must say no. Because you will almost certainly fail if you try and do it in your own strength. God did not call me to be a ballet dancer, however much I might have wanted to be one. But if you are called, God has given you what you need to do it. And if God has gifted you, he expects you to use the gifts he has given. If you're good at something, don't hide behind a wrong understanding of the notion of humility. True humility lies not in pretending to be less than you are. True humility is acknowledging that all that you are is a gift from God, and that without him you are nothing. And then you will be free to use the gifts you have been given to his glory. And in his name. Back to the text. So Christ himself gave. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now we could spend ages on the different ministries of the church, but we won't today. Enough to say that Christ gave loads of gifts to different people, and we're not all the same. We each have a different part to play, and we should glory in that. What I want to focus on instead is why he gave the gifts. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Whatever gift God has given you is not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. When my Auntie Sheila was a little girl, she was in hospital for a bit. And while she was there, she was given a box of chocolates. Now, she knew that the nurses used to take the boxes of chocolates from the lucky children, and once all the visitors had gone, they would share them out amongst all the children in the ward. So my lovely Auntie Sheila opened the box and carefully bit into every single chocolate, putting teeth mark into each one. I have to say, she was very young at the time, and she is now one of the most generous of women. Do not be like my Auntie Sheila. You have been given gifts for the benefit of the whole people of God, and you should share them. When we share our gifts, says Paul, the whole body of Christ is equipped to serve, and through service of others to be built up. As we become more of what we were made to be, one body, one church. We serve one another and the world in which we sit. We become one with each other and with Christ, who is our head, united in our faith in him. We, as a body, begin to grow to be like him and to know him better. As we explore together what it means to be the body of Christ, we cannot help but know Jesus more, because he is in us and we are in him. We know him not in the head sense of knowing more about him, but we grow to know him as we know ourselves and those we love. When you live with someone for a long time, you begin to know them more and more. You can begin to guess, can't you, what they will do in any situation, what they love and what they fear, what they rejoice in and what makes them sad. In our family, the ongoing joke is knowing what each of us will choose off the menu in a pub. I always take the menu and look through it and think for ages and ages and ages, and then I have scampi. Peter always chooses the weirdest thing on the menu, and he's sometimes delighted and sometimes appalled. The sweetbreads incident is a constant reminder of the unwiseness of this way of choosing things on a menu. I have to say, our kids find it endlessly amusing. Well, so it is with knowing Christ. As we live and grow as the body of Christ, serving him and one another, using the gifts he has given us, we grow to know him as we would know a friend or a brother, as a bride comes to know her groom through long years of marriage. And as we grow together into our full maturity as the body of Christ, as we approach the goal, the only goal, of becoming one with Christ, we will grow in our resilience to the storms of life. When the storms come, and they will, we as the body of Christ won't be blown about, but we'll stay straight and true, growing each day to be more like Christ. Again, this is an encouragement and a scriptural promise to the whole body of Christ, not to us as individuals. Together, we will continue in our goal to become the mature body of Christ. Together, one in our faith in the one who is exalted and sits at the right hand of the Father. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. And we, as the body of Christ on earth, lead the way. We are the light on the hill. We have inherited the blessing of the people of Israel to be a light to those who don't yet know God. We are the body of Christ.
Amen.